The Lord, everyone. It's amazing to be in the house of the Lord. It's almost always an amazing thing to be in the house of the Lord. Are you excited to be in church? I hope. I get excited for church. It's weird. But I hope I'm not the only one that gets excited for church. I love church. It's the best place to be. Would you turn with me tonight to John chapter 12? We'll be reading from verse 35 down to verse 43. Let's read together. Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I'm going to speak for the next few moments tonight on the title, Closing the Gaps. Closing the Gaps. I'd like us somehow tonight to close the gaps between what we believe and what we do. Close the gaps between our belief and our confession, our convictions and our confessions, between our confessions and our transformation. Can we close some gaps tonight? Would you pray with me? Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in this place. Jesus, this is your house, this is your people, this is your word. So I pray, Lord God, that you would anoint me to speak it as you would have it be spoken. Let it do whatever it needs to do in us, Lord God, but when we leave here, let us be changed. Let us be a little bit more like you when we leave here tonight, and let your name be glorified through everything that we are about to do. In the wonderful name of Jesus, you may be seated tonight. You may be seated tonight. The Sanhedrin was a council of the Jewish leaders that was made up of a few types of people. Just like in any congregation, in any crowd, you're going to always find a few groups of people. There were the ones that didn't believe Jesus. They didn't believe who he was and who he said he was. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. There were the other ones that said, okay, we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and we believe that he is the Messiah, but we're not going to do anything of it. Two groups of people. The first, they don't believe that Jesus is who he said he is. They're all looking for Messiah. They all are waiting and expecting the Messiah, but they think that he's going to come their way. They weren't expecting that he was going to be a carpenter son from Nazareth, because nothing good will come out of Nazareth. They were used to their power, they were used to their position, and they were used to doing things their way, and they were gonna keep it that way. It really didn't matter how powerful the miracles and teachings of Jesus would be, they were just not gonna believe. And then there were the second group that we read about in John chapter 12 and 42. The ones who believed on Jesus, they were convicted of the truth of who Jesus was, that this is the Messiah. They believed Jesus. They believed that he was who he said he was. And, well, they weren't going to do anything about it because they didn't want to get thrown out of the temple. I'm not really going to speak too much tonight about the need to proclaim our faith. I think that we get that. The church needs to be proud of her God. Jesus is always in style, and it is always in style to proclaim Jesus, to confess him and proclaim his deity. Jesus is always in style. If you want to kick us out, but we are Jesus' people no matter what. I think we're cool with that tonight. What I really want to focus on tonight is that space in the faith of these particular rulers. That black hole, really. It is that gap between what the second group believed and what they were willing to do. I actually find it a little bit silly that you believe that God is in your midst. You might have a little inkling that God might be in front of you, but you're not going to do anything about it. More than that, there was an added responsibility on the shoulders of these leaders who believed in Jesus. There was an added responsibility to take the next step, because you see, one of the main tasks for which the members of the Sanhedrin were responsible for was the identification and confirmation of the Messiah when he would appear. They were responsible to identify Jesus and validate his position among the people. But Jesus is here. The Messiah is here, and you believe that you've seen him. You've personally identified him, but you're not going to make a public confirmation of what you've been convicted of. You are not going to perform your duty. It happens all the time, actually. People will attend our services, and they feel the Spirit of God as he moves among his people. They will listen to the preacher, and they will believe the preacher. They will say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Yes, I believe that Jesus is Lord. Yes, I believe that Jesus wants to have a relationship with me. But despite their convictions, they will turn around, and they will walk the other way, because they're not willing to validate what they've been convicted of. There is a gap that remains. I know that I'm speaking to a room full of Christians tonight. We believe in Jesus. We've confessed our faith in Jesus. We're living for Jesus. We're Jesus-loving people. We're sitting in church on a Sunday night. But still, I sort of felt this week that the Lord wanted me to ask the question tonight, where are the gaps in your life? Where are the gaps between what you believe about him and what you are willing to do? Do you believe that our God is a God that specializes in the impossible? Are you praying impossible prayers? Is there a gap between what you believe Jesus is able to do and what you are willing to ask of him? Do you believe that revival is at our doorstep? And if so, then what are you doing about it? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you doing the things that are going to be conducive for the God to move in a fresh way in your life? Because brothers and sisters, if revival can start in your life, then it will spread to your house, it will spread to your church, and it will spread to your city. But revival has to start with you. If you believe it's at our doorsteps, what are you doing? Is there a gap between what you believe God wants to do in this city, in this church, and what you are personally preparing for? Where are the gaps in your life? Do you truly believe with all your heart that the Lord's return is at hand, that Jesus is coming back for his church, and yet there is a world heading towards destruction? We have family members and friends and co-workers heading towards destruction. Do you believe that? If you believe that, Jesus offers abundant life and love and peace and joy. but most importantly, salvation. If you believe that, then what are you personally doing about it? Are you telling someone about Jesus? Are you praying for someone? Are you helping someone? Is there a gap between what you know is coming and what you're willing to do about it? Where are the gaps in your life? Do you believe that God is holy? Do you believe that he calls us a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he's called us to be separate, set apart, distinct from the world? If so, then what are you thinking? What are you speaking? What are you wearing? What are you listening to? Where are you going? What is the reading of the thermometer of your heart tonight? To believe that Jesus said that you are more than a conqueror, but yet are you walking around feeling defeated and rejected? Do you believe that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but yet are you living your life by the dictates of fear? Do you believe that with God all things are possible, but yet you walk around thinking about all the impossibilities of your life and your situation? All you really see is the impossibilities instead of what God can really do through your life. Is there a gap between what you believe and what you do, what you speak, what you think? I can't possibly name every example tonight, but where are the inconsistencies between what you believe about God and what you're living? Can we close some gaps tonight, brothers and sisters? Can we close some gaps tonight? Too many people believe in the world today believe in God, but not enough people have faith in God. Statistics say that only 7% of the world's population identify as atheist or agnostic. That means over 7 billion people believe somehow that there is a God. But why is the world still so wicked? Far too many people believe in God theoretically, intellectually, but not enough people have faith in God. Faith is not theoretical or intellectual, it's practical. Faith demands action always, because action turns belief into faith. Where is the gap in John chapter 12 between believing that Jesus was who he said he was and confessing that he truly was who he said he was? From the very moment we come to Jesus, he challenges us to take what we believe and do something about it. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he preached the gospel. The people were convicted because they believed the words of Peter. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do about this? What are we going to do about this? We believe that Jesus died for our sins. We believe that he was crucified and that he's been resurrected. We believe that we are sinners in need of a Savior. But what are we going to do? Is there a response to what we believe right now? Is there a response to the conviction that we have about the word of God right now? We know it, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be careful that we don't leave it there. Because that's not the only time where we need to have a response to what we believe about God. In fact, every day should be an exercise of closing gaps in our lives, reconciling what we know, what we believe, and what we are willing to do. Faith demands action. There ought to be something demonstrable in our lives for every conviction we hold about God. Without action or a response, it's not faith. It's simply an intellectual understanding or agreement. There's a natural gap between believing up here and having faith in God. In 2018, it seems like everything is going to pass for faith. You have a pop star that stands up and acknowledges God for winning an award about a song about drugs, guns, and naked women. And the secular and Christian media will all of a sudden say, oh, they have such faith in Jesus, ain't it good? Well, show me the fruit. Show me the fruit. Come on now. People have faith that God is going to do such and such in their life. They know that God is going to do such and such in their life, but have they prayed about it yet? Have they fasted for it yet? I see it online all the time. God's going to bring me money. God's going to make me rich. Have you saved lately? Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter. It names a whole bunch of people and it talks about their faith. But in talking about their faith, it doesn't tell us what they understood about God. It speaks about what they did because they believed God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God. Noah moved with fear and built an ark. Romans 4:3 tells us that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But even Abraham's belief caused him to do something because Hebrews 11:8 says that Abraham obeyed and he went out not knowing where he went. He did something. Hebrews 11 goes on to tell us that Sarah conceived a child. Abram offered Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And Rahab hid the spies. Our convictions demand actions. Many of the chief rulers had a conviction within them that said, the Messiah is here. But they did nothing. They had no response to it. And there are many reasons why there may be gaps between what we believe and what we're willing to do. But in their case, they weren't willing to make a public confession because they were afraid. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, tonight that if you live for God, there will be many moments in your life where fear will roar at you. It's meant to stop you. It's meant to stop you from possessing the full blessings of God in your life. Fear. It will be all too happy to stand in your path. The fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of rejection. The fact is, though, that many of the fears that we have never come to pass. But in this case, these rulers had every right to be fearful. The people we read about in Hebrews 11 were men and women just like you and just like me. Sometimes we think of them as these huge, strong people who didn't go through anything. But these people were fearful. I can only imagine Abraham must have experienced a little bit of fear as God asked him to leave everything he knew and everyone he knew and go somewhere. I personally would have been like, where? I want to know where I'm going. And God is going to say, well, somewhere. And I'm going to be like, somewhere where? I can only imagine he had just a little bit of fear. The presence of fear is not necessarily the absence of faith. But what you choose to do in the presence of fear determines the measure of your faith tonight. In John chapter 12, they had a legitimate fear. I don't mean that it was right for them to be fearful. I mean the thing that they feared could possibly come to pass. Being thrown out of the temple. The fact is that if they did confess Jesus, they probably would have been thrown out of the temple. To be completely excommunicated would have been a life change. It meant being shunned by society. No one in their community could talk to them. They couldn't go to the temple anymore. They couldn't have business with anyone, relationships with anyone. Immediate family members would have to stay at least 6 feet away from them. And when they died, they'd put a rock on the body as a sign. I am not obligated to mourn. A ruler in the temple would have gone from complete power to complete rejection. The thing is that if they had confessed Jesus and followed Jesus, what they would have realized on their own is that, well, they wouldn't have belonged anyways. The very thing that they feared is what would have been necessary. Closing the gap between what we believe about God and what we're willing to do demands some kind of separation. We love Jesus, you hate Jesus, we're gone. We can't stay here. We believe he's the savior of the world and you're trying to kill him. No need to throw us out. We'll go on our own. It seems a little bit extreme to us sitting here in Canada. But there are places in the world where people are being imprisoned simply because they profess Jesus. There are places in the world where families are being killed and communities are being burnt simply because they have the mark of being a Christian. In the face of fear, they've decided to close the gap in their lives regardless of the cost. Closing the gap that exists in your life tonight will cost you something. It might not mean persecution. It might not mean your life, your job, your community, but is it possible tonight that there are gaps in your faith because you're afraid of what it will cost you? To pray like you've never prayed before will cost you something. It's going to cost you time, energy, sleep. It's gonna cost you perseverance and vulnerability. To begin praying impossible prayers will mean looking like a fool sometimes. In the Old Testament, there was a woman, Hannah, who prayed and made herself look foolish while praying for a child. But closing the gap means being willing to pray impossible prayers to the God we believe is able to perform the impossible. To live a life of holiness is gonna cost you something. To live a life of holiness will cost you something, but if we believe that we serve a holy God and he has called us to live a holy life and he has set us apart, then we must be willing to live a holy life. That will mean separation. That will mean you won't fit in everywhere. That will mean that you might be an outsider with the world sometimes. But brothers and sisters, to be an outsider with the world is to be an insider with Jesus. Give me Jesus any day. Give me Jesus any day. Closing the gap between a holy God and a holy life means we're not going to listen to filth. We're not going to watch filth. We're not going to think about filth. We're going to act differently. We're going to dress differently. It means if you're not my husband, you don't touch me. And guys, it means if she's not your wife, she's going to know right after off the bat you're a man after God's own heart. Because who exactly are we? 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As the church gets closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ, we have to start closing some gaps in our lives. We have to be willing to walk out the word and have less talk and a little bit more walk in our lives. We must be willing to say we're going to live holy lives. And if that's a problem, well then, kick us out. We're not going to say we believe in Jesus only, but are we going to live for Jesus? We don't want to fit in. We want the blessing of God upon our lives. Yes, we're called to love, we're called to be generous, we're called to be patient, yes. But that does not mean allowing gaps to form in our lives for the sake of fitting in and being liked and accepted by the world. Is it possible tonight that there might be some gaps in our lives, in our faith, because we're afraid of what it will cost us. John 12 and 43 tells us why they were afraid of being thrown out. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Closing the gaps that exist in our lives mean placing greater importance on what Jesus thinks than what everyone else thinks. Pleasing God is more important than having the world likes us, brothers and sisters. People will like you today and hate you tomorrow. You don't have to look very far to see that the world will tear you down just as quickly as they elevated you and made you feel good. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were asked, hey, didn't we tell you not to teach in Jesus' name? We told you to sit down and to shut your mouth, and here you are telling everyone in Jerusalem about this Jesus guy. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We're going to walk out what we believe. Are you walking out in every area of your life what you believe about God and His Word? Walking out what you believe will cause fear to rise up sometimes. Walking out what you believe will cause separation sometimes. And walking out what you believe means you won't be elevated and validated by the world. But as long as you're good with Jesus, you're good all day. As long as you're good with Jesus, you're good for a lifetime. The praise that comes from the world is temporary. The praise that comes from God is eternal. I wonder, will you close the gap tonight between what you believe about God and who God is and what you're willing to do in your life? The first group in the Sanhedrin didn't believe Jesus, didn't want to have anything to do with him. The second group believed Jesus. They believed he was who he said he was, but they weren't willing to take another step. Beyond that, they weren't willing to do anything about what they believed. And then there was another couple of guys that was a part of that same group. I'm almost finished. The music can come back. There was Nicodemus. He was a high-ranking religious leader. He heard about Jesus. He probably saw some of the miracles that Jesus was doing. So he found his way to Jesus, yes, at night. Yes, it was dark. If he had gone to Jesus during the day, yeah, it probably would have been a problem. But Nicodemus went to Jesus and said, surely you're from God. Because how else are you going to, you're going to do all these miracles that you're doing. You're going to do all these things that you're doing unless God is actually with you. We give Nicodemus a bad rap because he went to Jesus at night, but at least he checked out what he believed. There was another ruler that followed Jesus secretly. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. We don't know much about him. The Bible doesn't really tell us much about him. But one day, hanging on a cross, Jesus would say, it is finished. And these two would risk their lives being thrown out of the temple and beseech Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, beseech is a little bit more than asking. It means to ask urgently and fervently. Literally, they went to Pilate and they begged for the body of Jesus. They would risk it all to bury the body of Jesus. They closed the gap, finally, between what they believed about him and what they were willing to do about him. It's funny because Jesus hadn't resurrected yet when they did that. People were thinking, well, if this is the Messiah, why is he dead? It seems to me it would have been a little bit more convenient to step out on your faith and step out on what you believed when the guy that's doing all the miracles is still alive. Might have been a better time. I don't know what became of them. Bible doesn't tell us. But what I can say is that as long as we're still here, it is never too late to correct our steps. As long as we've got breath in our lungs, it is never too late to put our faith into action and reconcile what we know and believe with what we do. As gaps are closed in our lives, our relationship with Jesus grows. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost is saying to someone in here tonight, it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. You might not have been doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, but it's not too late. You might not have been living out fully what you believe about me, but it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. You might not have been praying the type of prayers that I'm capable of answering. It's not too late. You might have been believing for revival, but you hadn't really been doing anything in your life to have revival. It's not too late. It's not too late. Joel chapter 2 in the Message, verses 12 to 14, but there is also this. It's not too late. God's personal message, come back to me and really mean it. Come fasting and weeping, sorry for your sins. Brothers and sisters, it's not too late. It's not too late to do what you believe. It's not too late to fully live out your faith in the middle of a wicked world. It's not too late. It's not too late. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God. Live out what you believe. Just don't believe it, brothers and sisters. Change your life and not your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why. God is kind and merciful. God is kind and He's merciful. He's merciful. He takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot. This most patient God, extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophe. Who knows? Maybe He'll do it now. Maybe He'll turn around and show pity. Maybe, just maybe, brothers and sisters, when it's all said and done, there'll be blessings full and robust for your God. Would you stand with me tonight, please? You know, one of the things that made the book of Acts so powerful? There's a few things that made them so powerful. Wherever they went, they had powerful words and powerful demonstration to back it up. Do you know why? They moved. They moved. They moved their feet. For every conviction, they had a step of faith. They had a step of faith. They believed that God was able to heal the sick. And standing at Gate Beautiful, Peter would step out in faith and say, in the name of Jesus. They didn't just hold the belief. They were willing to take a step in what they believed about God. They didn't just believe that God wanted to pour out the Holy Ghost. They didn't just believe that people could receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter went down into Samaria and he did what? He laid hands. He did something about what he believed. They didn't just believe that God wanted to save souls. They didn't just believe that the gospel was for the world. Paul said that some of them went about planting and some of them went about watering. And then God blessed what they did and they gave the increase. The book of Acts, church, for every conviction that they had, there was a step of faith. I wonder, can we close the gap tonight between what we believe and the way we live? Between the convictions that we hold and the life we're willing to live. Between who we believe Jesus to be and who we're willing to show Him to be by the way we live our lives. It's time for someone in here tonight to close the gap. Paul Paul said that because they believed, therefore they spoke. If we believe that we serve a limitless God, then what is stopping us from praying limitless prayers? If we have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, if you believe it with all your heart, that he is the truth, the way, and the life, then there is water. What hinders you from being baptized? Where are the inconsistencies in our lives? Can we close them tonight? Can we draw a little closer to Jesus? Reflect Jesus a little bit more in our lives? Stand on what we believe in. Do what we believe in. Jesus is coming back for a spotless church. I wonder, as the altar is open tonight, would you find a place to pray and search your heart and say, Jesus, show me where the gaps are. Show me where the gaps are. And then give me the power to close those gaps in my life. Let's find a place to pray and close some gaps tonight, church.